Good Friday is good because today we remember Jesus reverses the sin in our heart and in this world. Everything comes unraveled for good. But the brutal reality of today is something that we all must understand. Crucifixion is said to be the cruelest, most painful, wretched, and inhumane form of punishment ever devised in the history of mankind. And Jesus willingly went to the cross for you, because of you. Often crucifixion or artistic presentations of Jesus on the cross portray a clean white body. We might even have an empty cross. Some will have Jesus' arms outstretched, hands and feet securely affixed with nails, the body displaying a visually inoffensive pose. But in reality, Jesus' body would have been torn from the scourging, covered with blood, and twisted into a visually offensive posture by its attachment to the cross. But what actually happens to a person's body in the process of dying on a cross? How did Jesus suffer? How cruel was the experience? As Scripture tells us, prior to being led to crucifixion, a criminal is traditionally beaten or flogged naked facing a pillar. A flagrum, a device with a short wooden handle with leather thongs 2 to 3 feet long, is used to scourge the back, neck, buttocks, and legs of a criminal. Sharp sheep bones with metal balls were attached to the ends with leather thongs. The metal balls peppered the skin, while the bones of the sheep would dig into welts and rip open skin. With each lash, skin would be shredded. Following his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was taken before the Jewish Sanhedrin and accused of crimes against Jewish law for claiming to be God. And in turn, the Jews made a case that Jesus had committed treason against Rome as an enemy of the state. During his trials, Jesus was beaten on the head and lashed with reeds. He was blindfolded, given a purple robe and a scepter, mocked and spat upon. With Jesus, the Romans reveled at a chance to humiliate the Jews. The soldiers then placed a crown of thorns on Christ's head. Upon arriving at Golgotha, the site of the crucifixion, Jesus was thrown on top of a crossbeam, which would have been placed on the ground after being carried to the site by Simon of Cyrene. This action would have forced acidic dirt into the wounds on Jesus' back, head, and legs, causing his blood to coagulate, harden, and dry. The crown of thorns would have been forced deeper into his scalp, creating excruciating pain and further bleeding. Large nails about 5 to 7 inches long and an inch in diameter, similar to railroad spikes, would have been driven through the wrists. Between the bones of the wrist and the end of the forearms, radius and ulna. The placement of these spikes was intended to pass through and crush the nerves of the hand without disrupting any blood vessels. Placing a nail at the hollow area in a wrist would not break any bones, but would provide full weight-bearing ability. The nail would have crushed and partially severed the median nerve, causing intense and continuous pain. The nail used to affix the feet would have been the same length as those in the wrist and placed as strategically as they were. The nail would have passed between the second and third tarsal bone in the feet. No damage or arterial blood flow would have occurred to sustain the body even longer. Thus, rapid blood loss was avoided, serving to prolong the agony of this image of crucifixion. If nails were placed correctly, there would be no need for ropes. As with the arms, the damage of the nerves of the feet would have created lightning bolt flashes of pain along the entire length of Jesus' body. The Romans used the act of crucifixion as a show of force and a further deterrent to crime and rebellion. The victim's body would hang on a cross anywhere from 3 hours to 3 days, even after death occurred. The victims were suspended off the ground on a high point in the city or along a busy road so that citizens and those passing by would witness this demonstration of force and intimidation. The Romans were already frustrated with the activity of the Jews, and when they had a chance to demonstrate power over this man whom they called the King of the Jews, the Romans held back nothing. They were experts at crucifixion and knew how to cause the most pain with the least amount of blood loss, making this the most painful, most drawn-out process of humiliation, suffering, and death imaginable. The greatest impact on crucifixion, however, was the victim's breathing. What killed victims was not the trauma of being scourged or even nailed. It was the combination of dehydration and suffocation. When inhaling, a person normally activates the muscles of the chest and diaphragm to bring air into the lungs. During exhalation, a person relaxes the chest muscles and diaphragm, and air moves out. But during crucifixion, this normal process of breathing is reversed. The position of a body on a cross creates a barrel-chested victim, preventing normal airflow. As a result, the victim is forced to have rapid breaths. And for a victim to breathe, he would have to push himself up into a more regular position, which only could be accomplished by rotating his nailed wrists and pushing up on his nail-driven feet. And as fatigue set in, breathing took longer and increasingly difficult. With each breath, the open sores and torn flesh and muscle would have grated against the rough timber of the cross. It is no wonder that Christ only uttered 7 significant words. With the buildup of carbon dioxide, asphyxiation, heightened levels of body acid, oxygen loss, a contraction of pulmonary blood vessels, a buildup of fluid around vital organs, Jesus faced a life-threatening state of congestive heart failure. Anemia would have contributed to Jesus' quick death of only 3 hours. Prior to crucifixion, he was repeatedly beaten and whipped across the face and head with reeds and bone-covered chains, his skull punctured with multiple thorns, and severe stress caused even a rare form of sweating blood. While he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane under an extreme level of exhaustion, Jesus undoubtedly experienced a fear and apprehension so emotionally and physically unsettling that he suffered and felt it even necessary to ask his Father to take this cup of suffering from him. And so with this physiology of death, it's easy for us to look away from the cross. It's easy for us to understand that Jesus physically suffered the same punishment of death that we deserve. But today, this Good Friday, what is even more sobering is the realization for us of the spiritual suffering that Jesus incurred. One of the 7 words Jesus uttered that he could manage to speak was a cry out to our Father in heaven. Why have you forsaken me? At that point, Jesus spiritually underwent the scariest part of Good Friday of it all. He experienced hell itself, the separation of us and God, so that you and I don't have to. Jesus suffered separation from God so that you never ever have to fear. Jesus took that off of our shoulders and put it onto his own. That's what makes today, Good Friday, so good. That Jesus accomplished not just a suffering of body and mind, but of soul that we no longer have to fear. And that payment was accepted. So this Good Friday, we can claim it to be good because it is so good for you. So yes, look upon that cross and know that Jesus no longer is on that cross because the payment has been done. It is finished. Jesus has reversed the curse. Amen.